Paul Allen comes to share the message with us of the Good Samaritan. He's asked me to read the passage. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow, then it's the passage is Luke 10, verses 23 to 37. If not, just listen as I read it through. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." I'm sure God will add his blessing to the reading.
Thanks, Rich. Howrah railway station in Calcutta. Whilst in India, very early one morning, we visited Howrah station. And amongst the hundreds of homeless people taking shelter there, we were shocked to find a filthy, dirty small boy lying in a pool of his own excreta, with only a tattered sheet covering him, looking as if he was dead. The fellow with us found out that he was completely on his own, with no one, no mama, no papa, to look after him. It was decided that we should take him to the hospital for the poor. As you may well imagine, we didn't really want this filthy scrap of humanity in the minibus with us. As we travelled, no one spoke. But slowly, we began to realise this lad was not just some poverty statistic, but a fellow human being in desperate need. Offering him a banana, slowly he opened up like a flower, and we discovered his name was Boro. He had travelled somehow from the north to Calcutta on his own, with no family. At first, the hospital didn't want to take him, fearing he might have TB. In fact, the first thing that they did was rush him down for an X-ray in between clean sheets, this filthy lad, to ensure that he didn't. But that was only after speaking with the hospital director and convincing him and the hospital that they needed to take him and they relented, admitting him free of charge. To be honest, we would have gladly paid whatever they asked. The next morning, we visited, and we could hardly recognize this scrap of humanity. He had been scrubbed from head to foot and was sat up in bed between clean white sheets with a broad smile on his face. He was suffering from malnutrition and was unable to walk due to arthritis in both his knees. On returning home, I heard a song, Child of the Desert, written by Adrian Snell. And it really spoke to me because it just summed it up completely. I met Adrian sometime later in Bath and spoke about our experiences. And he was happy for us to use the song in speaking about Borough and our involvement with Tear Fund and our India trip. We heard later that Borough had moved on and was taken into the care of an orphanage. We've since lost touch with him. And I sometimes wonder, whatever happened to him? Just one of so many. I was watching, and I saw you walking by. Your bones were naked, but nobody wondered why. Staring through me, hollowed eyes that told the pain. Bruised and broken, where your body takes the blame. Your eyes still haunt me as you fall, making to your silent call. And I would take you in my arms and bring you life, but I can't give alone. Child of the desert, where the mother's milk is dry. Child of the burning lands of flame, where the breath is spent in sighs. Child of the millions, I can hear your cries for healing. Child of the waste and starving land, I would fight where death is stealing. But I am too weak to share alone. My heart is hardened into stone. My lips are sealed, though I would comfort and revive. For I can't give alone. I met with a stranger who spoke of life and laughter. His name was the Lord of life, and all his people share his love now. I was standing, and my eyes they turned to see Jesus weeping, and his eyes were turned to me. Staring through me, loving eyes that told the pain. Bruised and broken, where his body took the blame. Your eyes still haunt me as I stand. I'm aching for this silent land. And I would take you to this child and bring your love. And bring your Some years ago, well, actually many years ago, I belonged to the St. John Ambulance Brigade and was a member of a competition team. Events were held and teams from various areas would compete in treating simulated casualties for a prize cup. We trained for months and won the heats to represent Bristol in the final at Sutton Coalfield. Travelling by car, we were making good time until we came across a car at an unmarked road junction hit by an articulated lorry. What would you do? Look for a phone box. Of course, this was in the days before mobiles were widely available. Drive on to seek help. We stopped. Two children were crying in the back. The driver's head had gone through the windscreen, his carotid artery severed, blood everywhere. He was dying. The other front seat passenger was slumped unconscious, and the lorry driver wandering around, concussed. Our training kicked in, examining and treating the survivors with our medical kit as best we could until the emergency services arrived. We missed the competition. To tell the truth, we weren't in any fit state to take part. And we arrived during the presentation. The organisers, on hearing what had happened, I don't know how they did it. They commended us and produced a special award that they gave to us. Jesus, in the passage, told a story of a man who was mugged and left severely injured in response to a question by a lawyer, a specialist in religious law. Let's briefly look into the passage and the attitude of the various characters portrayed. What must I do to inherit life, eternal life? The lawyer asked. Jesus didn't reply, but he simply asked, "What is your understanding of the law?" To which the lawyer replied, "That you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live," Jesus affirmed. In response to the lawyer's further question, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus told the parable that we know as the Good Samaritan. Now, the lawyer's initial question was flawed. Can anyone do anything to inherit anything? Is it something you earn? What can you do to inherit? Okay, you might try buttering up your rich relative, hoping for some reward on their death, but to no avail. An inheritance is a free gift, freely given by one family member to another. It cannot be earned, nor is it a payment for services rendered, or a reward for doing anything. Someone had to die. Jesus. So that we might inherit eternal life. But it cannot be earned by doing anything. It is a free gift from God to those who believe and put their faith and trust in him. Notice the order in the lawyer's reply, quoting from the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also repeated in Leviticus chapter 19. There are, in fact, two aspects, I think you'll agree. Love for God, which is the vertical aspect, and love for your neighbours, the horizontal. It is indeed very hard to truly love those around us unless love for God motivates and gives the energy to do so. How do you love the unlovable? Love indeed can be misunderstood and can be met with hostility rather than gratitude. A rebuff may result in frustration and disappointment. But if the motivation of our acts of love extended to others is out of showing love for God, we are sustained and encouraged because of the unfailing love of God shown towards us. To truly love our neighbor, it is first necessary to love God. When Jesus replied to the lawyer, "Do this and you will live," was he implying it's possible to earn salvation? I think you realize the answer is no. For the bar is set so high it is impossible to meet by our own efforts. What does it really mean to love God with the whole of your being and your neighbor as yourself? The lawyer couldn't grasp it. For him, loving God was simply keeping the law. And now he wants Jesus to define for him who exactly is and is not his neighbor. And in response, Jesus tells the familiar parable in which four different attitudes are displayed to the injured man, a fellow Jew. Let's just briefly consider them. First on the scene, the robbers. They saw an opportunity of acquiring what they could and were willing to use force to take it if necessary. What's yours is mine, if I can get it. The man resisted their attack, putting up a fight and suffered as a consequence, being severely beaten as they took his belongings. Are we immune from the same type of attitude? There are many in our world today who are exploited and suffer because of our desire to acquire the latest gadgets and luxuries. The world's valuable resources are depleted and misused, and many slave away under poor conditions to feed our insatiable demands, receiving little in reward in return for their labors in sweatshops. We have habits that are just as addictive and damaging as drugs. To modern technology, the latest must-have gadget and designer labels. What about the priest who just so happened to be travelling on the same road, probably riding home, returning from his spell of duty at the temple in Jerusalem? What's mine is me own, if I can keep it, seems to sum up his attitude. On seeing the man in the road, the priest, now you would think this religious man would show some compassion, but no, he crossed over to the other side of the road. He didn't want to have anything to do with this injured man. He was faced with a dilemma. If he recognized the victim as a fellow Jew, the law required him to offer assistance. But how could he tell? The man was stripped of his clothing and unconscious, most likely. Dress and language were the recognizable clues to your background in Eastern society. What if the man was dead? He would then become ceremonially unclean and need to return once again to Jerusalem for purification. But of course, if the man was a foreigner, there was no responsibility under the law to do anything. The easiest course of action was to ignore it, do nothing, not get involved. The Levites, well, they assisted the priests in the temple. And Jesus tells of one again who was traveling along the same road, seeing the man. He at least goes over to investigate, but leaves the injured man lying there in the road. And he also passes on the other side. How callous, we might say. What's mine is my own, if I can keep it. Are we free from this attitude? It's no concern of mine, and non-involvement. Do we close our eyes to the needs of those around us, fearing involvement, keeping what we have to ourselves for fear of demands on our time, our resources, upsetting our cozy lifestyle? I just wonder, how many stranded motorists have you driven past, not wanting to get involved? How many homeless have we ignored? What about the innkeeper? Could his attitude be summed up as, what's mine is yours if you can pay for it? The man was quite clearly injured and in need of assistance and care. You know, we moan about the NHS, but thank God for the NHS and its ethos, free at the point of need. Not so here. Assistance was only given in return for payment. If we only get involved in the needs of others, motivated by benefit to ourselves, it is hypocrisy. Aid motivated by what we get in return is not aid, but trade. Now onto the scene comes the most unlikely hero of the story, a hated Samaritan. Not a Jew, as expected. His attitude may be summed up best as, what's mine is yours if you have need of it. I hope you see the irony of the situation. A Samaritan coming to the aid of a Jew. Particularly in that both the Jewish priest and the Levite had turned aside, refusing to give assistance. Samaritans were hated and despised by the Jews. Yet Jesus here tells of a Samaritan, of all people, moved by compassion for a fellow human being, attending to the needs of the injured Jew. He used all his available resources in dressing the man's wounds, in putting the injured man on his own donkey. Presumably, now walking, he makes the journey down to an inn at Jericho. Now, I don't expect he felt too comfortable. A Samaritan bringing an injured Jewish man into a Jewish town. But he doesn't just disappear, he stays. And the next day makes provision for the man's care, handing over 2 denarii. Enough to provide food and lodging for at least a week, and promises to return and pay any further expense. Maybe we overlook the fact the Good Samaritan actually risked his own life in caring for the wounded Jewish man. This man had no reason to get involved. In fact, he had every reason not to. Yet when we're confronted with such need, he could do nothing but respond in meeting the need, demonstrating costly, unexpected, unconditional love in action. It reminds us in a small way of the love that God has shown to each one of us in sending Jesus into our world to meet our greatest need. Don't know whether you noticed that when the lawyer was questioned, he just couldn't bring himself to admit it was a Samaritan, not a Jew, a Samaritan whom he despised, who showed true neighborliness, and could only reply, the one who showed pity and mercy. Jesus told the lawyer, go, do likewise. Jesus gave no answer to the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor? But he points to a broader issue. To whom should we act in a neighborly way? The answer is self-evident. Anyone who is in need, regardless of ethnicity, religion, or social standing. As those who seek to follow Jesus, the same is required of us. And it is not restricted just to physical needs, but spiritual well-being also. As Christians, we are God's representatives. We are his hands and feet today in the world. And we have a duty to reach out in love to those in need. This is indeed our mission. This is what we've been commissioned for. How should we respond? By being informed. We cannot close our eyes and our ears to what we see and what is reported in the media of what is going on around us in our world today. Engaging in prayer. Bringing the needs of others to God, believing that all things are possible according to the will and purpose of Almighty God. We are commanded to pray for one another. We may not be able to physically meet the needs, but we can all bring those needs to our God in prayer. taking action. We have already seen faith and action go together, hand in hand. This may mean taking steps ourselves or encouraging and enabling others to meet and supply the needs of others. It could involve lobbying governments to take action on behalf of others. Giving. Giving of our time, giving of our energy, giving of our resources, giving of our money in providing for the needs of others. Tear Fund is just one channel by which you and I, as Christians, can be involved in seeking to meet the desperate needs of others in our world today, at home and overseas. Let's pray. Gracious and generous God, you became poor so that we might be enriched by your love. And you gave the world's wealth and resources as a common inheritance of all human beings. We pray you would strengthen your church to be a beacon of hospitality for the poor. We pray that seeking the light of God's love, the nations and people of the world might fight not to kill, but to outdo one another in care for the poor and in actions of gracious generosity. We ask this through him who for our sakes did not grasp the wealth of heaven, but instead gave all to live for us as a slave and die for us in pain. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.